I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful life, a beautiful place of mansions fair and skies ever bright, where all who believe the Savior dear forever shall stay.
Seven songs in this book, and I'm convinced that between Brother Hoover and Sister Christie, they know every single one of them. But if you find one that they don't know, let me know. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church again this evening. Got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Furman asked that we please pray for Wesley and Sharon Beletka, that God will heal a situation in their home. And then Sister Mary Beth, she's not feeling well this evening. And Brother Terry and Sister Teresa Sargent, they're not feeling well either. So I want to remember them in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Lee, would you just come this evening and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Service this morning. I think it was, like Brother David said, it's right down my alley. I really needed all that, what he said this morning, and still chewing on it. I just think I myself need a good killing, I guess is the way you would say it. But let's all bow our heads. Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, tonight for your presence, Lord, and Father, we just pray that you would just remember each and every request that's been made known tonight. God, we so many times, Lord, when we hear our children have a need and our grandchildren, Lord, we know exactly, Lord Jesus, when that cry is made. But, Lord, how much more do you hear when your children make that cry, Lord, to you? Father, how quickly you're there to get that need, Lord, to them. Father, your prophet said, you wanted to give it to us more than we wanted to receive it. Oh, God, help us just to have faith tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, Lord Jesus, just to believe in you. And what you've already done in this hour. Lord, you've done it all for us. All the promises that we have need of is waiting there for us if we'll just believe. Lord, just help us, Lord, to have love one for another. Think upon another man's things, and his needs, and his desires. God, we ask you to bless the service tonight. Lord, bless Brother Nathan. Lord, every need, Lord, whether it be healing, financial, whatever it might be, Lord, may it go for your glory. Father, help us to lift you up tonight and worship you in spirit and truth. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. We have a special from Sister Kristen.
I'm not ashamed.
Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ can handle those type of things for us? Things we don't want anybody else to know, He can take care of. Prayer. I don't want anything of this old world to get in the way. Nobody in my family. Those are tough words to say sometimes. No one at my job. No one in my neighborhood. I don't want anything here. I don't want a piece of property. I don't want a car or money in the bank. I don't want it to hinder me. I want someday to hear Him say, "Well done." If you'll stand with me, please. Brother Nathan said 707. There's probably 70 songs that Christy and I know that aren't in here, which just makes it perfect. And this is another one of those 70, probably. The musicians know it because I practiced it this morning, and I thought of the other chorus that goes with it. So we're going to sing this and worship. After preaching like we had this morning, the Holy Spirit comes in. Y'all just forgive me. The Holy Spirit come over there where I was sitting and just started chopping here and chopping here and chopping there. And there just was Les Hoover all the time. And it wasn't comfortable. I promise you that. It wasn't comfortable, but I appreciated it because afterwards I was free. And when you're free, you can worship. See, as long as those little things are hanging on you and Satan's bothering you with it, you know, I know what you said, I know what you did, I know how you acted, you know, He's preaching to you, you're, you know, He mentioned your name 10 times this morning, you know. Y'all just be glad He's leaving you all alone. No, but when the Holy Spirit comes in like that, there's only one thing to do afterward, and that's just thank Him, just praise Him. And it gives you such a liberty, it gives you such a victory to realize that Satan is exposed. He can't do anything to you because you've got it all clean before you and the Lord. So then we can worship with a song like this. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to Lord has given me authority.
so the world can see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, pick up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee. Let's shake hands. Command you, Satan, in the name of higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I would draw all men unto me. So I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given me authority to walk all over thee.
Hold on. Some of you all are looking like you don't think that you got the right to do that. But this right here gives you the authority. Amen. Satan is under Jesus' feet. And if you're in Christ, guess where Satan's at? He's under your feet. So you have the right. Brother Branham said he has to go and get permission before he can even come and put a trial on you or a test on you. I'm not preaching. I'm just trying to get you to understand what your position is. And if you understand what your position is, then whenever Brother Nathan comes up here and the word comes forth, you can say amen to it. And when you say amen to it, it takes root in your heart. And then Tuesday afternoon, when you're in the middle of a test and a trial, you'll remember something that Brother Nathan said, and you'll be able to say to the devil, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapon. Authority to walk all over thee. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Oh, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Let's lift him up. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Well, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, take up your weapons and flee.
Amen. He was lifted higher in this age, wasn't he? Amen. That just selects it randomly, but sometimes you'd think somebody's back there programming it for the song that we're singing. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Let's sing just one more before we go into the service. Let's stay. Brother Hoover's leading the song, so we'll stay in E flat. That's fine. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Oh, while I'm on this pilgrim journey, oh, I need you, Jesus, to walk with me. Oh, don't leave me alone. Desire tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, if you turn with me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And this is immediately after the faith chapter of Hebrews 11. St. Paul reading down all the different characters, describing all that they were and all that they went through, but yet how without us they couldn't be made perfect.
Right?
He goes on in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, and he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us."
Right.
Let us lay aside every weight, he says. I mean, I want to look at the thought tonight with the help of the Lord of unpacking your baggage.
All right.
Unpacking your baggage. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, we need you again, Father. We appreciate your presence here this morning. Lord, we appreciate your presence in the worship service this evening. Lord, we just need another touch from you, Lord. We come together again to worship you and to learn more about you. Lord, to be in your presence a little while longer and just to glean more from your blessings, Lord. And Lord, we want to go out of these walls, Lord, better Christians than we were when we came in, Father. Lord, we've come back to the potter's house again, Lord, so that you can shape us and mold us. And Lord, as Brother Hoover talking earlier, Lord, about how the preaching of the word does that, Father, many times people don't realize it's chopping and hewing the one that it's going out from as well. But Lord, we just submit ourselves to you, Lord, just to mold us and make us. And Lord, trim off all the rough edges that would be unpleasing to you, Father. Lord, may you just come on the scene again for us tonight, Lord. Lord, of these requests that we read tonight, the different sicknesses, Father, and different situations in the homes, Father, we just ask that you would come on the scene. May your Holy Spirit work in a way that only you can. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we do all that we know how to do. Lord, we turn to doctors and we turn to others for help, Lord, and they do all that they know how to do. But there comes a point where we recognize that we've done all that we can do. Now all that we can do is just commit it into your hands, Lord. And what capable hands, Lord, to submit our needs to. I can't think of any other place that we could go that could provide the type of comfort and healing and mending and restoration, Lord, that you provide. Lord, I just ask that you'd move on the scene for each one. Lord, the hands that was raised earlier, the needs that was represented, may you minister to those needs, Father. Help us tonight to focus our thoughts back on Calvary, Lord, and what you did for us. Lord, help us to keep our minds on you. Help us to keep you first in our thoughts and our decisions. Lord, for you said in your word, Lord, if we'd seek first the kingdom of heaven, all these other things would be added to us, Father. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings tonight. We just give you praise and glory and honor, Lord, for all that we see you doing and for the things, Lord, that you're doing in the background that maybe we don't even see sometimes, Lord. But we thank you for all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Paul's telling us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this word, I looked it up on dictionary.com, and this word baggage that we're using tonight is trunks or suitcases used in traveling or luggage. It can also be the portable equipment of an army. But this third meaning is what I want to focus on tonight. It also can mean things that encumber one's freedom, progress, development, or adaptability, impediments. Intellectual baggage that keeps one from thinking clearly, neurotic conflicts that arise from struggling with too much emotional baggage. Oh my. Brother Branham says in Communion 1962, he said, we're fixing to take a journey. And as we think of a journey, we might think of suitcases and extra clothing and extra shoes. But how different from this journey? It's not packing up, it's unpacking, laying aside. As your great servant Paul said in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we lay aside every weight and the unbelief that does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Now it's summertime, and I know a lot of you are taking family vacations and different things. And when you go to think of a vacation, you begin to think of the destination. What is the destination going to be? And I can't make fun of the sisters, because usually I pack as many or more shoes as my wife, Brother David. I have to admit it. Because usually I'm preaching multiple places, so I'll have to have a black pair of shoes to preach in and a brown pair of shoes to preach in for this outfit over there. And then I'll have to have, you know, something comfortable for the hotel room. And then if we're going down to a beach or to a park or something, I'll need something comfortable to walk in there. And, you know, I wind up with about four or five pairs of shoes, and she's got about the same amount. And so I can't give the sisters a hard way to go for that tonight. But we begin to plan ahead. We begin to think of the destination that we're going to. What type of a destination is it going to be? What type of activities are we going to be doing? Will we need our backpack if we go hiking? Or, you know, some of you brothers that like the ocean and things, are you going to need your surfboard or your wakeboard or whatever it's going to be if you're going to a lake or something like that? What is it that you need? What activities are you going to be doing? And you begin to think ahead and you begin to plan ahead. And some of you procrastinate down to about the last 24
24 hours and you're in a panic running to Walmart because you recognize you're out of Q-tips and you're out of toothpaste and you're out of this and you're out of that and you're trying to pack frantically while others of you have planned ahead for months and you've been going online and checking the reviews of every hotel and every car rental agency and every place that you would maybe need to go and you've planned this out methodically and others of you are just, you know, searching your phone as you're driving down the road trying to find, is there a hotel with vacancy? And different personalities, we plan different ways, we pack different ways. But when we go to take a journey, most of us don't just, you know, you sisters just run out the door with your purse and you brothers with your wallet, but you're planning and you're packing and you just whatever it would be strategically for the events and the locations that you would be at. And maybe if you're going to be outside in the sun, you're packing your sunscreen or your big floppy hats or something like that to kind of protect you from the sun. And you've got all this planned out and you get there and you realize with all your planning and methodical packing, you forgot 57 things that you got to go out and buy anyhow once you get there. And it's just, that's just the way it is when you're going on a journey. But Brother Branham's telling us that this journey, you know, many of us when we go on a plane, they have a limit of the weight that your bag can be before they're going to charge you. And then many of them today, you know, a lot of the airlines, I know Southwest, I think, still lets you have a free carry-on, but a lot of them are a free checked bag, rather. But a lot of them, if you check a bag at all, they're going to charge you above and beyond what your ticket price was because you checked this extra bag to take when you would think that would just be automatic when you're going somewhere that you'd be taking a suitcase with you. You'd think they would have that figured into the price of the ticket. But most of the airlines now, they've tried to figure out how they can raise the income of their airline agency. And so they begin to come up with these different ways. If you want a better seat, you want to pick your seat, we'll charge you $15 more. If you want to actually bring a suitcase along, we'll charge you $25 more. And they begin to rack up all the costs. And you know, then so now a lot of people try to cram everything that they can into a carry-on and do that. But now I just heard one of my wife's aunts, she came here to visit some of her family. And she was telling us that, you know, the airline that she chose, they actually charge you more for a carry-on than they do to check your bag. So they're trying to get people going that direction now. The other way. So they'll charge you, you know, any way you can, whatever it is, to try to get another dime out of you. And you, all your planning and working, calling ahead, can I take this? Can I take that? Can I check this? Can I check that? Can I take my medicine through, or do I need to pack it in the suitcase that they're going to stow? And you know, they've got certain things because of terrorism and things now. You can't take a bottle of liquid over a certain size. You can't take anything that's got a blade over a certain length. And you can't take fingernail clippers because you might try to hold up the airplane with your fingernail clippers. You don't want to say hi to your buddy Jack in the back of the plane because you'll get arrested. I'll let that one sink in until you get it. There's so many things that you, regulations and things that you have to do and planning ahead methodically. But yet some of you explain it to the blonde sitting beside you. No. I'll get in trouble already tonight, Brother Hoover. I was telling blonde jokes to a little blonde sister that was with us at the Creation Museum. I don't think she appreciated them as much as I did. But all this planning and all the packing and all that we do, but Brother Branham tells us, but for this journey, it's not packing that we do, it's unpacking. And in fact, instead of, you know, you go on flights, I'm getting ready to go over to Finland, and once you begin to cross the big pond, the airline tickets begin to go up higher and higher and higher, depending on where you're going and how long you're staying and how many different hops that you've got to take and all these different things. And, you know, the airline tickets can get outrageous. I thought, you know, for a flight like that, Brother Hoover, it's not really lengthy, but it's a little bit lengthy. I thought, I'm just going to check and see what the price difference is for first class. I was thinking it might be $100 or $200 extra. I thought I might be worth it to pay that. And it was almost three times the price of the over $1,000 ticket that I was already planning to pay first class. I said, it's not worth that much for the legroom. So they find a way to charge you any way extra that you can. But this trip that we're going to take, Jesus said he gave it to us without money and without price.
That's right.
Free of charge.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only he's not just transporting us in a taxi cab or a boat or an airplane, but he's transporting us into a different dimension, right, into a different body that'll never get sick.
Oh, hallelujah.
that'll never get tired, it'll never get weary, it'll never have to pay taxes, it'll never have to pay a medical bill, it'll never have a gray hair or a back pain or a headache.
Amen.
It'll never have to have a surgery, it'll never have to go to a dentist. It'll never have to worry about hair loss or teeth loss or weight gain. It won't have to worry about any of that.
Amen.
It'll be perfect.
Right.
A body that God created for us eternal in the heavens. Bill Gates or some of these billionaires, they would give all their money. Everything that they have, Brother Hoover. In fact, they're investing millions upon millions into trying to figure out how they can cryogenically freeze us when we die until science figures out a way to bring us back. Oh, I've already found somebody that can bring me back for free. I don't have to invest any money. I don't have to invest anything in it. He's already paid the price. He's already taken care of it. He gave it to me free of charge. I don't have to worry about investing millions in cryogenic freezing or in the furtherance of science. It's already paid for. It's already taken care of.
Amen.
But they would give everything that they had, every dollar that they had, no matter how big their bank accounts, to be able to guarantee to extend their life just another 10 years from whatever they would naturally die of. Another 10 years, they would give their millions, they would give their billions, they would give their sky rises, their high rises, they would give their yachts and their 500,000 square foot homes and their helicopter pads and all of their electronics and all of their hundreds of thousands of dollar cars and personal jet planes. They would give it all, probably for another year, let alone 10 years of life. All of it. I believe the Queen of England offered her, she said, I'd give my whole kingdom for just five more minutes. When it comes down to it and you're breathing those last breaths, the size of your yacht doesn't matter too much, as we talked about the dead man laying here. The cost of your suit, the type of leather in your automobile, all those things don't matter a whole lot when you're breathing those last few breaths. And all these people, all the millionaires and billionaires you could think of, they would give everything that they had just to extend that lifeline a little bit, a year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it would be. They would pay a scientist any amount of money they could. Just bring me back for a little bit.
Amen.
We've got to promise not to be brought back for an hour or a year, 5 years or 10 years, but to come back and spend eternity. Not in a body that's going to die again. Not in a body that's going to rot again or age again or have financial problems again. But in a body eternal.
Yes.
And yet many of them that would spend their millions and their billions wouldn't darken the church door of a building like this. It's too simple for them. It's too simple for them. Their professors and their consultants and things have already explained it away from them, and they just think that this is a fable, but it's the realest book they'll ever read if they would take the time
Amen.
To pick it up and read it. Acts chapter 15, verse 23. The apostles are writing to the Gentiles because there's been a division between the people, because some of the apostles were telling the Gentiles that they had to be circumcised and that they had to follow the Old Testament law of Moses. And so now they've met for a conference to discuss this. It says in Acts chapter 15, verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles, and Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. Oh, how many around the message have troubled people with their words?
Amen.
Subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Now I want to look at this word subverting. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek version of it, but you can read it up there. But it means in the English to subvert. And this specific Greek word, this is the only time that it's used in the Bible. But it means to pack up baggage in order to carry it away to another place. To move one's furniture when setting out for some other place. Of an enemy dismantling, plundering a place, to overthrow or ravage, to destroy towns, lands, etc., to turn away violently from a right state, to unsettle or subvert. They were trying, here these newfound Christians, they were Gentiles, and they're trying to put this weight on them to say, look, you've got to come and serve under this circumcision that's been, you know, our covenant, and you've got to serve under the law, and you've got to do all these acts of the law that we've been under for all these hundreds of years. And what were they trying to do? They were trying to add baggage, trying to add emotional baggage and spiritual baggage and physical weight upon them, to place all these things on them and say, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to do this. But James and some of the apostles got together and said, look, we never gave them no such commandment. You just don't sacrifice unto idols, and you just don't eat things sacrificed unto idols. Don't drink blood, and don't do some of these things that are vile that some of your Gentile kinfolks do. And you just serve Jesus Christ. And you put him first in your life, and he'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
They were trying to take them back to an old covenant, to something that grace had come and did away with, to where Paul writes and he says it's not anymore of the circumcision or of the uncircumcision, but he said it's the Holy Ghost that circumcises the heart. It's no longer of Jew or Gentile, because it wasn't a Jew or a Gentile that came to save us. It was God himself that came down to save us. He saved the Jews, he saved the Gentiles, he saved the Samaritans, he saved the white, the yellow, the black, the red. Oh my, we sing that song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Amen. Jesus loves all the children of the world. Jesus didn't come just to die for Anglo-Saxons. He didn't just come to die for white people. If he did, he came in the wrong body, because he was Jewish. His natural flesh looked Jewish, at least. His blood that was pumping in those veins wasn't Jewish. It was the blood of God.
Amen.
But he looked just like the rest of them. They didn't say, you know, who are you, you white Gentile? They said, you know, he's a man who doesn't look over 50 years of age. He just blended right in with the rest of them as he came to that group of people. But yet he didn't just come for that group of people.
Right.
I'm so thankful tonight that he didn't just come to save the Jews. I'm so thankful tonight that he didn't just come to save us white folks, but he came to save all those that would accept what he had done. Amen. And they begin to tell these people, look, don't let anybody add some baggage to you that's not necessary. Don't let anybody bind you down with some legalism that you're not held accountable for in the first place. You're under another covenant. Now, God couldn't change his word, but what God did was he changed his dispensations, and he changed from the Old Testament law. Even though there's many things that we still uphold of the Old Testament law, yet there's many things that was done away with. If there wasn't, there'd be many of us they'd have to drag out here and stone to death or burn at the stake, and there'd be many of us that couldn't enter into the congregation. There'd be many of us that would be in all kinds of different conditions. There would be, you know, you'd have to bring a lamb to me and we'd have to sacrifice it if we were completely under Old Testament law. But yet Jesus Christ came once as a sacrifice.
Amen.
Not to be a repeated sacrifice, but once was enough.
Amen.
Once was enough. And now we're under the covenant of grace. Paul said, so what? Do we sin now that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. But there's something about it when a free gift is given unto you, and all these things that we talked about earlier, when, you know, many would pay multiplied millions and millions of dollars to have what we've been given as a free gift. Once you recognize what he really did for us, it gives us, you know, if you're a real true Christian, a real true member of the Bride of Jesus Christ, it gives us such a thankfulness and such a sincerity that we would never want to go out and do those things again. Oh, sure, his grace will cover and his grace will forgive, but let's not make grace a disgrace. We don't just go out here and live any way we want and bring reproach because of grace. That'll get you in trouble. It'll send you to an early grave.
Right.
Yet his grace is there when we fall. A free gift that was given. But they wanted to load all these other things onto these new Gentile Christians. Many of you, when you came to the message, maybe you sat in a church where they wanted to pile all kinds of things on top of you and say, well, we believe this and we think you shouldn't do that and we don't think you should go there and we don't think you should do that. And then you begin to read one day and you recognize, you know what? None of this stuff is in the message. None of this stuff is in the Bible. I've been dragging around a lot of legalistic baggage with me. I've been wearing a yoke of bondage that God never required me to have in the first place.
Amen.
Oh my, what a freedom it must have been to recognize that Jesus didn't just free you half the way and then put you back in the slave house, but he freed you completely. And it's not a yoke or a chain of legalism to drag around all the do's and don'ts of whatever some spiritual leader gets in his head that he thinks you should do or doesn't think that your children should do, but that we have a basis and a foundation that we can go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. Amen. And what our problem is, we've got so much baggage of things that we've picked up from the world and we've picked up from our family down through our lineage or down through the genes that we inherited. And we've picked up so much baggage from the school that we went to and the things that we was taught. And we've got all this baggage with us. And now there's more baggage being added on that, oh my, you know, we don't think you should wear this color shirt. And we don't think you should wear this, you know, the men should wear short sleeves. And we don't think that the women should wear rings. And we don't think that the women should wear necklaces and all this garbage that a lot of message preachers try to add on to the people. That's just baggage that they're weighing you down with. When you've already got enough baggage, what you need to do is get away from the baggage that you've got.
Amen.
What the Word of God does is exactly what Brother Hoover said earlier. It begins to chop us and to trim us down and to take away all the excess that we don't need. It doesn't add a bunch of other garbage on us that we don't need as well.
Amen.
It takes away the things that we have not need of. All the garbage that we fill our minds with and all the idle things that we do and say, it begins to come and trim that away. All the things that we were bound to out in the world, all of the addictions and all of the temptations and all of the struggles. Maybe it was a struggle that you inherited from your great-great-granddaddy or somebody down through there. Maybe it was nervousness or maybe it was pride. Maybe it was jealousy. Maybe it was temper. Maybe it was stubbornness. But the Holy Spirit comes and instead of adding the baggage that you're dragging around with you, it begins to set you free of those things. You get up to an airplane weight and you lay your bag on there and it's over a certain weight. They say, sorry, you've got to pay more. You can't go. That's the problem with a lot of us. We just keep adding more baggage, more emotional baggage, more spiritual baggage, more, you know, dogmatic baggage of man-made creeds and dogmas. Brother Bram says in Everlasting Life and How to Receive It, 1954, he says, if you're already born in the kingdom of God, you've already got the Holy Spirit in you. The only thing you have to do is cut loose from these things of the world that's holding you down. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin doth so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the life, the race that's set before us. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, lay aside the weights.
Amen.
I asked my dad and my uncle in the last 24 hours here, and I think I asked Brother Hoover if they knew what the names of the three wise men were, because Brother Bram shares this with us in this tape. He says, could you imagine the wise men coming to Jesus? I'll just take a little drama for a minute. I can see they say three wise men. We'll just say there was three. Jim, John, and George. That'll change a lot of message Christmas plays right there. I think he's just dramatizing it, but hey, there was Joseph and Mary and John and Philip and Nathaniel and different ones, so I don't have a problem if their names are Jim, John, and George when I get over there. Amen. In fact, I'd probably get along better with them than if their name was Zebediah or something strange like that. So Jim, John, and George, we'd say their names was. And they're coming to Jesus, and I can see them all getting ready to go. We'll take this fellow Jim. He's quite a fellow, quite a man, rather. He runs and tells his wife, said, wife, you know what? I've seen a star, so I've got to go. And so he goes over and he packs up to go. That's what's the matter with people today. They're trying to pack up to be a Christian. If there's anything you need is unpack to be a Christian. Got too many things hanging on now. One of them say, now, mother, you know, I couldn't go along unless I took my card table. So he hangs that on the camel. Because, you know, the other boys wouldn't appreciate me going along if I didn't have my card table along. All these other little old things that keeps you. And you have a little box of selfishness. You have to hang on to that too. That on too. You have to hang on a little tattling, a little backbiting. A little of this that hanging on the camel. And the first thing you know, he jumps up a straddle. The old camel says, come on now, let's go. The old camel can't hardly move.
All right.
He's mashed down so hard till he's bow-legged almost. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a bow-legged camel walking through Jerusalem? And you're always kicking and complaining about your church you're going to. And maybe it's you've got so loaded up till it can't run. Uh-oh. That's what's the matter. You need to unload, wash up, clean up, get right. Amen. What's the matter with me? He said, notice, that's what it is. I can see the others going, moving on. And the first thing you know, he got down and looked at that star again. So the first thing, he began to throw tables one way and packages the other way. The wife said, where are you going, John? Said, I'm laying aside every weight that so easily beset me. And I've got to run this race with patience, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but a few there'll be that find it. There's only room for you and Jesus. Nobody else can go through. He says, amen. There's only room for you and Jesus. Nobody else can go through.
Amen.
Just you and Jesus. Oh my. Can you imagine they start out on this trip, and as it describes it, they begin to pack this and pack that, and it's a long journey, and oh my, we're going to need these type of wardrobes, and we're going to need this type of food, and we're going to need these type of gifts, and we're going to need all this and all that. And when he tries to climb up on that camel, he's so weighted down he can't even hardly walk, and his legs are out like this, and he's dragging around. He says, this is never going to make it this way.
Right.
We're never going to make it the distance that we're going. I see where that star's off, way off there. There's no way this camel's going to make it there packed like this. And so he begins to throw this off. And he gets a little further in the desert and he begins to throw that off.
Right.
And he begins to throw this off. And before you know it, he's just got a gift in his hand to bring to Jesus.
Amen.
Just him and his gift coming to the altar. Oh my. So many times we get loaded down with everything else. Oh my, you know, this brother says I've got to do it this way. And this sister says I've got to do it this way. And this brother said he got the Holy Ghost this way. And that brother said he got the Holy Ghost this way. I think of Jack Coe. He said when he got the Holy Ghost, he belonged to a church that they didn't believe in saying amen or hallelujah. And so when he got it, the only thing he knew to do, he said he ran around the tent that night and he began to scream, hot dog, I got it. Hey man, I appreciate that testimony, but that doesn't mean we all have got to say, hot dog, I got it when we get it.
Right.
What we've got into a lot of times, even around the message, and especially back in the Pentecostal days, is patterning after somebody else's experience. And well, Brother Hoover said he got it this way, and Sister So-and-so said she got it that way, and this one got it this way, and this one got it that way. And we try to go through the same motions that they went through, and you're just adding their baggage to your experience. And that was all right for them. That was good that they got it that way. But you just make sure your experience matches this.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Layton's experience doesn't have to match mine. My experience doesn't have to match his. But both of our experiences should match the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, is that possible? Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. There was one place in the Scriptures where the men of God went down and laid their hands on them and they began to receive the Holy Ghost. There was another place where while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them.
Right.
Can you imagine those people, this group saying, well, I got it when Paul laid hands on me. This one saying, no, I got it when Peter spoke these words. And you know, this is how I got it. So there's no way that you're in. The Bible said they were.
Right.
But we try to compare and do this and do that. As I've said many times before, the woman that touched the hem of his garment, you know how things are in this age. We would have had somebody packing around his robe after he died, and they would have started a hem of the garment doctrine. That my grandmother, she got healed touching the hem of his garment, and the only way you can be healed, Brother Hoover, is if you come and touch this robe. But then what if there were about 1,000 people had touched it and it got so threadbare that there wasn't hardly nothing left of it? And then another one slipped up and he said, you know what? He said, that's good about that hem of the garment doctrine. But he said, my brother, he was sick one time and Jesus laid his hands on him. And when he touched him, he was healed. Well, he's already raised and ascended. He can't lay his hands on us. So your doctrine just ran out on a limb. And this guy over here, doctrine just ran out on a limb. And he said, oh my, but you know, this other guy come down the road. He said, wait a minute. He said, my servant was sick one time and I had enough faith. I told Jesus, just speak the word and he got healed.
Right.
Oh my. See, they all three got what they had need of,
right.
But none of them came exactly the same way.
Exactly.
Many times we put God in a box and we say, God, I'll accept it if you'll do it this way, through this person, at this time, at this place. And if you'll wrap it all up like that, like a Burger King, you know, a Whopper, and just hand it out the window to me and deliver it to me in the way and the package and the form and the time that I want it to, I'll accept it, Lord.
Uh-huh.
God will walk right on around you, you stubborn thing. Many times he moves in unexpected ways through unexpected people at unexpected times, but he'll move if you'll just wait for him to move.
Amen.
Amen. He may not come and heal you the same way he healed Sister so-and-so, but he'll come and heal you if you have confidence in him and trust in him. He says again, God's way that's been made for us, 1952. I can see some wise men one time going to his birth to worship him. I can see them all getting ready. They're packing up their camels. I can see Jim Jones and all the rest of them and John Doe packing up. I can see them laying these card tables packed here on the side like that. And they laid everything else on. They was going to go to worship Jesus. They come to find out when they got there, decided the old camels couldn't walk. That's just what's the matter with the church today. You've packed so much world with it, it turns you back. That's right. I can see them start out like that in all of them. They get to the side of the mountain yonder. They can't even get through.
Right.
They've got so much packed on the camels, they can't even get through. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, but few there'll be that find it.
Yes.
Yes, sir, he says. I can see one old guy packing up. He was making himself light. Because I'm packing up to go to heaven. He said, brother, I'm not packing up to go to heaven. I'm unpacking to go to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a rapture. Cut loose everything.
Right.
Every weight. Every sin that would so easily beset us. It's not seeing how much we can take. Your 70-inch television isn't going to fit through the gate. Your DVD collection isn't going to fit through the gate. Your favorite vehicle isn't going to be able to make it through and drive on those streets of gold.
Right.
Your favorite actor probably isn't going to be there with you. Your favorite politician, I doubt he or she will be there. Your favorite sports personality is probably a drug addict and a womanizer. They probably won't be there dribbling the ball on the pearly gates,
man,
on the streets of gold and banking it off the walls. You can't take all that with you. You say, what are you saying, Brother Nathan? You're saying we shouldn't watch sports and we shouldn't have recreation. We shouldn't have nice vehicles. We shouldn't. No, that's all right. But don't get so focused on all your baggage that's keeping you earthbound. Don't get so weighted down with those things that when the rapture begins to come, you say, oh, but Lord, I've still got to do this, and I haven't had a chance to do that, and I wanted to meet so-and-so, and I didn't get a chance to go over here to this event, and there's a movie coming out next weekend that I'd like to see, and Lord, I'm just not ready. Yeah, it sounds like you're not ready. I'm so weighted down. I'm so weighted down. I don't think I can take a flight. It's time to unpack.
Amen.
The Great Coming Revival, 1954. You know, the people today are trying to pack up to go somewhere. If I had a voice today to warn people, I'd say don't pack up, but unpack and get ready to go. It's time to unload. The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Men and women are trying to join this church or join that church or take this or take that. Well, they can play cards in this church. They can in our church. They can go do this at that church. They can at our church. You're trying to pack up, he says, but unload.
Amen.
Unburden yourself and get down before God. The time is at hand. But I see this man, I can hear his wife say, look, John, we'd call him John, our character. Why? You haven't got a compass. You haven't got a thing. How are you going to find your way? You're way over in the eastern countries. And way over yonder's the stars, the old on up in Jerusalem, on into Palestine. How are you going to get through these swamps and deserts and mountains to get over there? I can hear him say this one thing, wife, I don't have to take my compass with me. God has provided a compass.
Amen.
That star yonder is God's provided way to lead me to the Christ child.
Amen.
I'll follow the star.
Sir.
We get so caught up with following this one and following that one, following this personality and that personality, and following this religious move and that religious move, and following this group and that group and this idea and that idea. He left us something to guide us. He left us his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us.
Amen.
But many times we want to lean on something else. Brother Hoover, what do you think about it? Brother Hoover, you think it's okay to do this? Or do you think it's wrong? Do you think I should do this or do that? Hey, it's all right to get advice. But God didn't send you Brother Hoover or Brother Nathan to be your Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's going to do the leading and the guiding.
That's right.
He's going to do the directing. But many times we get so weighed down. Sometimes it's emotional baggage that we have with us. Well, bless God, Sister so-and-so, she didn't shake my hand last week. See if I shake her hand next week. That emotional baggage keeps weighing you down. Oh, my, did you see the way Brother so-and-so looked at me at church? He just looked like he was ready to punch me. Yeah, maybe the sun was in his eye and he was trying to squint out around you. But Satan will put all kinds of things in your mind. Oh, I think Brother so-and-so, he sure got something against me. You know, the last three services, he hasn't even come over where I was fellowshipping. He's went way over on the other side of the church. Yeah, maybe he was greeting some of the people that you was too lazy to go over and greet and fellowship with. Don't think Satan won't try to put this emotional baggage in your cart. And you know, when you get up there to the scales, they say, sorry, you got to get rid of this and you got rid of that. And you got to get rid of this before you can go on this flight. You've got too many things in there holding you down. You're too earthbound still.
Right.
Oh, Satan will try to lie to you and try to deceive you and try to tell you that poor, pitiful you, everybody's against you and nobody loves you and everybody hates you and you're just all alone. That's the picture that Satan wants to paint for you. That's the corner that he wants to get you in. Nobody cares. Nobody's praying for me. Nobody's worried about me. And he gets you over in this corner with all your emotional baggage. And you begin to give up. And you begin to self-destruct. And he goes, that's exactly where I wanted you.
Right.
That's exactly where I wanted you. Over there defeated, weighed down with your baggage. Don't think that that just comes to you. Brother Bram said he stood there and he was preaching birth pains. And there was a Catholic priest sitting behind him. He said, I thought everything I was saying that man was disagreeing with. And his wife had given him a new Schofield Bible. And he began to try to turn the pages and find the scripture he was looking for. And he turned over and it wasn't there. And he turned back and it wasn't there. And it just seemed like, you know, he started to read the scripture. But when he turned the page, the rest of it wasn't saying what it was supposed to. And he said, you know, it must have been a misprint in this Bible. And the priest stepped up and he said, here, read it out of mine. He said, hold steady, son. God's fixing to do something. Oh, God was fixing to do something, all right. It was a type spiritually of what took place 2,000 years ago when he handed the priest back the book and he began to speak and began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture fulfilled. And he took and he handed the book back to the priest. And it looked like it was a mistake and it looked like a mess. And here he was nervous and here he was, Satan trying to attack his imagination and saying the priest that was against him. And the priest said, you mean those Pentecostal people don't recognize what you're trying to tell them, what that sign is? He said, be quiet, it's not time yet. Right. And here this Catholic priest behind him was catching the revealing of the Son of Man and those Pentecostals sitting there and it going right over the top of their head.
Right.
This day, this scripture is fulfilled. But yet Satan trying to attack him there on the pulpit saying that man's disagreeing with you and he was probably the only one in the building really agreeing with him. Don't if Satan will do that to God's prophet, don't think he won't try to do it to you.
Amen.
Don't think he won't try to drive a wedge between you and your family or between you and your best friend or you and somebody that you love in the message. He'll try everything he can to drive a wedge in there. Because he wants to isolate you and separate you. And he wants to get you to the point where you feel like nobody cares about me. Nobody prays for me. Nobody really has a burden on their heart for me. Nobody wants to fellowship with me. That's what Satan wants you to think. Expectation 1961, like taking a trip, get everything packed up. No, this kind of a trip, you unpack everything. Got too much packed up now. The trouble of it, we have to unload. We have to unload all that. You've got to let some of that emotional baggage go from back when you was in elementary school and Bobby on the playground shoved you and, Susie made fun of you and called you a name or something. You've dragged that emotional baggage down and it's tried to drag you down all your life. It's tried to give you complexes and try to keep you from having confidence in other people and trust in other people. It's time to unpack some of these things.
Right.
How are we going to do it, Brother Nathan? The Holy Spirit's going to do it.
Right.
Amen. He's going to be the one to unpack some of this baggage for us and give us deliverance and victory over some of these things that's tried to hold us so earthbound and so carnal all these years. It's time we unpack some of it.
Amen.
The Power of Decision, 1955, he says, just step in the light tonight, you outside of Christ. The winds will come back again like they was on the day of Pentecost. Just keep walking in the light. It'll separate the things that was hindering you from one side to the other. Notice the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea, not only in the mud, they were on dry ground, walking light. That's the trouble with the church today. You're so loaded down, you can't walk light. Got too much, many things hanging on you. Sorry, got too many things on you, too much hanging around. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight that we might walk light. Every weight and the sin doth so easily beset us that we might run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher, Christ. Walk in the light, light-footed. Do you ever walk when you go down the street singing, fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove? Let me go all the while with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Did you ever walk like that, light-footed? No, many of us, we go around, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. What's the matter? That baggage is weighing you down. You're getting lower and lower and lower. But he said, my, there's something about it when that presence, like on the day of Pentecost, begins to come. I found out Brother Hoover was old enough. He was there, apparently. He was telling us today at lunch, he said, way back at Pentecost. And I said, yeah, he's so old, he was there, Brother Yarborough. When that mighty rushing wind begins to come down and it begins to pick up all those things that's in your baggage. That mighty rushing wind begins to come up and it begins to pick up all that malice and throw it out the window. And it begins to pick up all that pride, and that mighty rushing wind just takes it and throws it to this side. And all that bitterness you had against so-and-so on the other side of the pew from you, it just goes out the window. There's something about it. That guy that you was ready to pick a fight with before service, by the end of service, you're ready to walk over to him and say, God bless you, brother. I love you, brother. I'm praying for you, brother. There's something about it. What is it? Instead of being weighed down by all that baggage, the Holy Spirit begins to empty that bag, and you're walking light-footed. All right. Oh, my, fill my way every day with love. I'm stepping high. I'm light-footed. Why? All that weight that was on me. I don't know about you. If you ever, you know, went hiking or something, had about a 50-pound pack on your back and trying to drag through the woods, and you're walking like this, and then you take that thing off, and you feel like you're about to walk out of your shoes. Because you're about 50 pounds lighter than you was a few minutes ago. Liposuction doesn't have nothing on that. And you're high-stepping it. Why, all that weight that was weighing you down, you took it off of your shoulders and you laid it down by the campfire. I want to tell you tonight, it's not just a physical backpack tonight, but you can take off some of that baggage that's been weighing you down and lay it over at the altar tonight. Say, God, I'm tired of letting the devil weigh me down with all these things. I'm tired of these things of the world taking up, consuming so much of my time that I can't have the joy that I used to of my salvation. That I can't spend time in prayer with you like I used to, because I'm so weighed down with my schedule and the things of the world and the pleasures of the world and the busyness. And I'm so weighed down with all the burdens that I'm bearing, with all the things that everybody has said about me over the years and all of the situations that I'm facing. I'm so weighed down. I'm so tired of it, Lord. I'm laying it down. And I'm walking away light-footed tonight. I'm walking away in the Holy Spirit without all that baggage. I'm leaving it behind. I can't take that with me, but I'm leaving it behind.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. There's a lot of people running. The Baptists are running. The Catholics are running. The Methodists are running, the Presbyterians are running, the Jehovah Witnesses are running, the Seventh-day Adventists are running. They're running on a different day than we run, but they're running. The Jesuits are running, the Greek Orthodox are running. All of them, we're all running. The Muslims, they're trying to run, but they're running into each other with bombs and things, blowing one another up. We're all running, but there's one group that takes the prize. Everybody else is running. We're all running to something, running for something, running to some religion or running to some so-called truth or running to this or running to that. But there's one group that's running that she's going to take the prize. There's many that are running, but there's one group that's running that one day her prize isn't going to be a golden trophy. It's not going to be to have her name in the newspaper somewhere, but it's going to be to have a body change. All they that which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain.
Amen.
Marriage of the Lamb, 1962. Brother Branham says, so we find out that the bride has to make herself ready. Be willing to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. We must lay them aside ourselves. We can't say, God, you come, lay them aside for us. We've got to do that ourselves.
Amen.
We've got to lay them down. You say, oh, I thought God was going to take it away from me. He will take it away, but you got to lay it down first.
Amen.
He will deliver you, but you got to want to be delivered first.
Amen.
He will set you free, but you got to want that freedom first.
Amen.
Remember Brother Branham said about Legion. Brother Stephen reminded me of the quote here the other day. He said, if Legion hadn't pressed through and got to Jesus, those demons would have never left him. But above all those demons and all those things that was trying to weigh him down and bind him down, he forced his way through. He got to himself long enough to get to Jesus.
Right.
Oh, I hope that the Word of God can snap us out of our bondage and our baggage and our luggage and our weights that bind us down long enough to get to Jesus and say, God, I'm through.
Amen.
I'm through wasting my time. I'm through wasting my money. Oh, my, some people complain because, you know, we're supposed to pay tithes. Satan tithes a lot higher than 10%. You go look out here, some of these guys serving the devil, all their money goes to cigarettes and alcohol and parties and things, but they get paid on Friday, and before Sunday night rolls around, they've already spent their whole paycheck to the devil. A lot more than 10%. Oh my, God tithes a lot smaller than the devil does. You paid him your tithes when he was out there in the world. You paid it to the devil. Oh my, I can't wait to get out there and gamble it away at the boat. Or I can't wait to get down here and smoke it away or inject it away or drink it away or party it away. You gambled it all away or partied it all away. Oh, Satan's tithes is a lot steeper than God's. But you've got to be the one. You've got to be the one that gets so sick of that burden that you're bearing around. Whether it's emotional baggage, whether it's legalistic garbage that somebody's tried to put you into that's not even found in the message of the Bible, whether it's something in your nature that you inherited through your family, whatever it is, you've got to get so sick of that thing. Whether it's something of the world that's tying up all your time, maybe it's something that's not even sinful, but it's just consuming so much of your time that it's keeping you away from your prayer life, and it's keeping you away from church, and it's keeping you away from listening to tapes and reading your Bible because you're so consumed with this temporal thing that's going to fade away and burn one day.
Right.
He gets us so consumed. You got to get so sick of that stuff that you say, God, I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done with it. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of dragging this baggage around. I'm laying it down tonight. Lord, I know if it's me, I'll pick it up again. But Lord, I'm laying it down tonight. You take it away. Amen. Is that your desire tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's empty our baggage tonight.
Yes, sir.
Empty it all up. Say, God, I'm not dragging this stuff around with me anymore. I'm not dragging my fear around. I'm not dragging my hate around. I'm not dragging my temper and my stubbornness around anymore. I'm laying it down.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. If the musicians would come. How many slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I've got things I've been dragging around for years. Things from my childhood, things from my past, things from churches that I used to go to, or things that I used to be taught, things that have bound me down and oppressed me, temptations, things of the world, things that Satan's tried to place on me from my birth that I inherited through my family, all kinds of things. I've been dragging them around. They've been weighing me down. They've been hindering my spiritual walk. They've been trying to take away the joy of my salvation. They've been trying to take away my freedom. They've been trying to take away the pleasure of spending time with my family because I'm so consumed with these other things in my life. I want to lay them down at the altar tonight and say, God, I'm so sick of it. I'm so done with some of these things. I want to focus on you. I want to focus on things that aren't just going to end temporarily here, but I want to focus on the things of the eternal. I want to focus on the things that's going to get me out of here. I don't want to pack up and load up so I'm so weighted down that I can't take a rapture, but I want to empty up tonight. Amen. God sees each hand. God sees the desire behind that heart, behind the ones. My hand's up too tonight. There's so many things, many times, that weigh us down and distract us and hold us back from going on further into God where we should be. Oh, God, help us tonight. Lord Jesus, you saw the hands that was raised. You saw the ones that was honest enough to admit there's things in our lives, Lord. I've got my hand up too, Lord. There's things that, Lord, sometimes we hold back and we hold within us. They begin to weigh us down. They begin to eat at us. Things that people have said about us, or things that Satan would try to throw in our laps and try to get us to look to instead of looking to you. Things that, oh, that would just distract us and take our time away from our families, take our time away from you. Oh, Lord, we get so weighted down and so cumbered up with some of these things sometimes, Lord, that it just seems like we can't hardly move because we're so earthbound and so carnal. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us to refocus on Calvary tonight. Help us to lay aside every weight, every sin that would so easily beset us. Help us to unpack our baggage tonight, Father. Lord, it's not packing up time. It's unpacking time, Father. It's laying aside time. It's checking up time. It's getting everything out of our lives that would hinder us from a rapture, Father. Oh, help us, Lord, not to get so earthbound and so carnal that when you would call, we would be so focused on things down here that we would miss your voice when you would call to us to come up higher. Oh, help us, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us just to lay these things down tonight. Help us to unload all this baggage at your altar tonight. Lord, may we lay it down here and walk out of these doors free from it. Lord, may you just take it away so completely that when we step out of these doors, Lord, we're walking light-footed, like Brother Branham said, to where our steps are higher, our walk is higher, our talk is higher. They're on things of you instead of things of the world. Help us, Father. Grant us a closer experience with you, Lord. We love you tonight, Jesus. Oh, we thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Oh, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Lord, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, he's the light of the world. Let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Lord, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. Let's sing it this way tonight. All ye saints of light, Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, yes, there's life and mercy in his name. Oh, he's Jesus, he's the light of the world. Let's sing it together. Oh, it's such a beautiful
Leave it there. take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit come down tonight and encouraged us to get rid of these things? I was just thinking as we were singing that song, I was up at youth camp about 8 or 9 years ago, over in the small tabernacle, just the younger ones, the 10 to 13 year olds, and we were singing this song. I just felt led to tell the young people, if there's something that you brought to camp that you don't need to take home with you, maybe it's a Facebook account, maybe it's a spirit that's got a hold of you or something, just bring it up here. Dump it at the altar. You don't have to kneel down. Just drop it here and say, Lord, I'm leaving this here. I'm not taking it home with me. Amen. 2 years later, I'm sitting in a cafeteria at camp. This brother Russell Wallace from Arizona comes up to me and he goes, Brother Hoover, we've never met. I said, no, I don't believe so. He said, 2 years ago, one of my boys was in the little tabernacle. You told him he could come up to the altar and dump whatever he wanted to dump and not bring it home. I said, yes, sir, I remember that. He said, I just want you to know I had a brand new kid come home from camp.
Amen.
He said, before camp, I couldn't do anything with him. He wouldn't listen to any instructions. He wouldn't take any correction from his mom. He said, when he come back, he said, it took us about 3 days to figure something had happened. He said, I pulled him aside one day. We was out doing chores, and I said, son, what happened? He said, well, Brother Hoover said I could take that spirit of rebellion and I could lay it on that altar and I didn't have to take it home in my bags with me.
Amen.
What do you have tonight that you need to leave here? You need to just say, God, I'm not taking this home with me.
Amen.
You can leave it here tonight. You don't have to come up to the altar like those young people did. You can leave it right there in your seat. The deacons will throw it out whenever they're done.
Amen.
Just leave it there. He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there.
Let's sing it again. Leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave it there.
Amen. We sang this morning. I thought, well, we might sing it again tonight since we're teaching it to the people. And somebody asked me this afternoon if I'd sing it again. So, amen. We're going to try it again together.
I give myself away. Can use me.
give myself to you. Lord, my life is not my own. To you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. Lord, I give myself away.
Dismissed. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself to you.
I give myself.